You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and I'm with co-host Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Thursday. It is Thursday, right?
It is Thursday. It was trash day at my house, so I know it's Thursday.
Thursday trash day. Cool. what is it a trash day? What is it a trash day when we're talking COVID-19?
Today was another. It was another trash day in the news because a lot of bad news again today. And so, you know, we're just...
Where to begin? Let's go to the trashiest. And in my trashiest might be your trashiest because you even tweeted about it. The Louisville thing. We've been talking about this all month.
Well, you know, and we've asked a number of people, and we didn't really get any answers when we asked the question back then. Is what do you do when athletes break protocol and break the rules that you put in front of them? Well, we found out at Louisville, this is what you do. You kick three soccer players off the team because they hosted a party.
Right.
Now, if you read the story, those three guys also had some previous issues with the team, so it wasn't like strike one.
Right.
But, you know, in my mind, and I tweeted a couple of things about this. One, good. Because that's what you have to do.
Sets an example.
Because if there's no consequences to doing that stuff, then where are we going to be? And if these guys are too dang stupid or selfish to realize that they've got to do certain things in order to be athletes, then get them out of here.
Well, the ramifications or the consequences of that, they're gone now.
Right.
And 29, I think it was, athletes got COVID.
Right. And so they jeopardized everybody, and not just the sports, but their lives.
Yeah, their lives.
They jeopardized the lives.
And a number of sports.
Right. So in my mind, not only do you get kicked off the team, I think you take their scholarships and you get them off campus and you make their parents pay for their education.
Well, they've done that.
Okay. That's how mad I am about this. But then in addition, I'm either suspending or disciplining in some way every athlete who went to the party. Not just the guys who threw it, but if you went to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, that's exactly what you're not supposed to be doing right now.
Well, this is what we've been talking about. Kids are going to get on campus here in about 2 weeks, slowly trickling in, the regular student body. They're going to say, hey, come.
This party.
Come on.
And that's fine. If you want to be a student and go to the parties, knock yourself out. But if you want to be an athlete with a scholarship, right, you can't do that.
If you're a student, good luck. Go ahead and get COVID. We don't care. Just don't talk to the quarterback.
Right. Just stay away from the quarterback and the soccer player and the point guard. Stay away from
them. I know Tom is chomping at the bit because he said, this is exactly what I'm telling you.
9%, 8%, 7%.
No, hey, I don't disagree with you. I'll be your spokesperson.
For those who don't know, by the way, I said yesterday I gave 10% chance of college football finishing the season, but it keeps slipping because of stuff like this.
Come on,
somebody prove me wrong.
I just hope against hope that these people, these students, are going to at some point understand what they have to do.
How many colleges?
Look, just give it up for a year. Just give it up for one school year to play your sport.
Lent for a year.
Because look, and maybe I'm the oddball out there. If I'm on the soccer team and I spent all this time in high school and in club soccer, and you know I've been playing soccer since I was 5 years old to get to this point, I'm going to go. I'm not risking that to go to a party.
You know the importance of it. Yeah,
right.
You should.
That's what I don't understand.
And student athletes are smart. You know, they got into this college for a reason.
Well, yeah.
You'd think that, come on.
That's the part that I don't understand. They put all this time and effort and work into this, and they're tossing it away to go to a party.
Let's move to trash two. Big Sky.
Big Sky Conference. Cancel football, which I'm not a lawyer. I know a few, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn last night, but I think, Portland State's in the Big Sky. I think that gets Arizona off the hook for any potential liability for the 550,000 or 800,000 or 700,000 or whatever it was.
There's a happy man in this town.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's Dave Hickey.
If in fact what we're saying is true.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they've canceled their football season, then I guess the U of A doesn't owe them any money for canceling their game.
Right. You can't spend money you don't have to pay.
Right.
That's good. That's
good for them.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Hawaii, because the Mountain West has also gone to a
conference only.
Well, conference, but they can play two conference games of their choice. But obviously, with their, you know, they're not going to play Arizona now, so I think Arizona's off the hook across the board on all that stuff.
Right, right. So that's two, but it's getting closer to home on the West, where big schools are starting to cancel.
Right. Yeah. You know, you've got NAU was one of the schools that's not playing now. So, mm-hmm. you've got some of that going on. So
Well, the local kids. There's a few local kids that went to or gone to NAU.
Yeah, and there's that, and then I just read that we brought up the South Point quarterback.
Yeah. Brigade.
Yeah, I saw a report that Max Preps has reported that he's on a roster of a school, somewhere, I think in Colorado or something
Colorado.
Like that.
Maybe, well, he's picking his choices then.
Yeah,
making his
so
choices.
Interesting, but
good to have choices.
There's a lot of things like that happen. You know, well, a couple of big players in NCAA, a top defensive player for University of Miami has said he's opting out, and an All-American linebacker at Penn State said he's opting out, which Penn State announced today they're not going to have any fans at their games.
If that's a trend, Mr. J, you ain't going to any games. Enjoy the games from the couch. Saving money, though.
Well, Iowa did say they're going to have 10,000 to 15,000 at their games, so...
At Iowa.
So I think there's, you know, if they can play, I think there's going to be some fans at Arizona games. Speaking of Arizona, you know, U of A fan season ticket holders have to decide by tomorrow if they're opting out. Oh. By that, I mean, you got choices. You can leave your money at the U of A and just roll it over to next year.
Okay.
You can get a refund, in which case... you lose your assigned seats, you know, for next year. You can leave your money there and try and get tickets to go to the games this year. Any one of a number of options.
Sure, sure. That's good.
You know, they're giving you options. You know, the last resort, right? They're saying, or you can donate it.
it's a text write-up. Hey, and lastly, as we get ready for Kim Adair from the Arizona Bowl, you gave me this stat. Was ESPN 1%, less than 1%? Tell me that so I can use my line.
Okay.
Don't mess with my line.
Okay, Arizona has a zero, according to the ESPN Football Power Index, Arizona has a 0.1% chance of winning the Pac-12.
So in my mind, just a little over the legal limit of drinking. So you might want to go ahead and do it.
I'm going to start drinking now.
Take an Uber.
I'm going to start drinking now.
Take an Uber and you'll be fine.
I'm going to start drinking now. So they've got a 1.9 power index rating, which actually puts them ninth in the league. They're ahead of Washington State, Oregon State, and Colorado.
That's fair.
They play two of those teams. So that's fair. There's two wins right there.
That's all they're getting.
Two wins right there.
That's it. Hey, let's take the break here and come back with Kim Adair from the Arizona Bowl.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And now I have one of my favorite people here, the Arizona Bowl Executive Director, Kim Adair. Kim, how the heck are you?
Hey, I am hanging in there. How are you guys?
Fine. I hope you're hanging in there better than we are. I'm losing my mind over here right now.
Come on, people are noticing. If there's a person on the hook, it's just Kim Adair, given what's going on with football.
Yeah, it's been a crazy, tumultuous time, hasn't it?
Tumultuous. Hold on, I'm Googling it. Go ahead and continue.
He doesn't know how to spell that, Kim. He's calling up the dictionary.
It's a T, right?
So give us the update. The lowdown. You know, how are you guys, and you know, what are we looking at?
Yeah, you know, we're doing well. We're hanging in there. It's been a lot of wait and see, and it seems like it's been that's been happening for 4 or 5 months now. We're optimistic that we're going to have a college football season, and at the end of that will be a bowl season. And all of our conversations with our conference partners and athletic directors and broadcast partners all seems to be pointing in that direction. Of course, anything can happen between now and then, but you're seeing almost all of the conferences come out with their schedules, which shows that they're intending on playing and they're putting in a lot of different flexibility into their college football season schedules, which allows them to make up games if they need to. You're seeing that most of the conferences are probably going to postpone their championship game a week or two, which means Selection Sunday this year will actually happen probably about 2 weeks later than it normally does. And that's great because that gives, some more flexibility in that schedule. If someone needs to cancel a game because of COVID issues, they'll have some time to reschedule that game and make it up later in the season. So that's really great news for us. Like I said, we're optimistic that college football is going to kick off. And at the end of it, on December 31st, we're going to have an Arizona Bowl here in Tucson.
Are you kind of like Jay and I? We come in on Monday, there's no news. So we say, hey, there's a good chance. Things are looking good. And then Tuesday, it all goes to hell. And then you're up and down with your enthusiasm because it's kind of up and down almost on a daily basis.
It has. It has been a roller coaster. But, early on, I decided that I can either ride that roller coaster or I can just focus on the prize at the end of the ride. And, we've done everything we can do to prepare for our game. Until someone tells us that we're not having it, we are mm-hmm. working on it every single day to make sure that this community and the bowl specifically is prepared for the teams that will eventually arrive and hopefully some of their fans. That's another piece of this. One is to have the game, and two is to have a fan base inside the stadium to watch it. So there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of contingency plans, a lot of cancellations of our typical events as well. I mean, normally we have about 900 people down at the TCC for a kickoff luncheon in October, and we've decided to cancel that and combine it with our Selection Sunday event, which will happen in all likelihood on the December 20th. And then, some of our other events, our tailgate's going to look different this year. We're going to make sure that we're going to try to have a some sort of a pep rally the day before the game outdoors, if possible, with social distance in place. But a lot of moving parts, and we're just trying to get prepared for all of it.
Kim, one of the first things that I see when Selection Sunday, for instance, gets moved back to the 20th, I mean, there's a bunch of bowl games that are normally scheduled for that weekend. What about those bowl games before the pre-Christmas bowl games? What's happening with those? Do you know?
Yeah, so there's a lot of conversation. I don't know anything definitively, and I think there's still a lot of movement as it relates to the schedule for the bowls. But I can tell you this, ESPN broadcasts a majority of the games, the college football bowl games. So they will, once the championships are in place and we know for sure when Selection Sunday is, they will back schedule, those games for sure. So if Selection Sunday is on the 20th, I would imagine the earliest would be the following Saturday. And then, of course, ours is the following week. Ours is only 11 days after Selection Sunday. So all very quick turnarounds. But you're going to see for sure bowl games going into the first, second, maybe even the third weeks of January.
Wow!
And you're going to see bowl games some of those games that are typically played earlier in the in December that are not going to have the opportunity to play, you know, at their normal date, those are going to be pushed back a little bit. And you might see some Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday games, honestly, because ESPN's got a, you know, they have a finite window to play, you know, of broadcast time to place those bowls in. So I think they're going to have to be very creative. Now, for us, we are very fortunate that we're, you know, we're not sort of in that mix. We're aligned with CBS Sports and CBS Sports Network. And CBS only has two bowl properties, the Arizona Bowl and the Sun Bowl. And we're locked into our December 31st date, no matter, you know, no matter what. And I just had a conversation with CBS and re-verified that yesterday. They're very excited for us to be back on New Year's Eve, and we're excited to play on New Year's Eve.
So how have you spent the last couple of months? Are you talking to ADs? Are you just getting ready locally, keeping your eye and ears to the ground all over the place? How is it?
Yeah, you know, all of the above. I mean, you know, people always say, what do you do for the full year to prepare for the bowl? I tell them a bowl game actually takes us about 14 months, and we only have about 12 months to do it. You know, we have a lot of different moving parts occurring throughout the year. We're pushing forward and making sure when the teams arrive, that we've got, you know, the right hotels for them, and that the hotels are set up properly and those contracts are already set up, that we've got the transportation companies in place. We've got the, you know, the event locations in place. You know, the other added feature that we're working on this year is of all of the different, you know, COVID protocols we're going to have in place. That's a big piece of what we're dealing with now. I mean, our press box is going to look different because it's got to be spaced out different. So we're going to have to limit the amount of people, how many passes we can give to the press. We have to limit how many people we can let on the field for as far as the press goes. We have to make sure we have hand sanitizing stations in place, and we have to make sure people are going to be masked and that we have masks for sale at the merchandise, you know, tent in case someone forgets a mask. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of new things we're actually having to figure out and prepare for that, you know, that we haven't had to do in the past, obviously. And so that takes a lot of our time as well, and making sure that everything is in place so that when we do know who our teams are, that it runs very, very smoothly those last couple of weeks of December.
Are all the bowls pretty much in the same position? I mean, I we've already seen one that I think the Red Box Bowl or something like that just said, yeah, we're just not going to do it this year. I mean, as far as you know, is everybody else still, you know, trying to figure out a way to do a game, or are there some others that you think might fall by the wayside fall by the wayside, that's a bad word, but just say, you know what, we're just going to go on hiatus this year and gather ourselves and do it next year?
Yeah, so there's actually an organization called the Football Bowl Association, and we are members of that association. And we meet regularly, all of the executive directors of the 43 bowls, and talk about that. And I can tell you right now, I don't know any other bowl outside of the Red Box Bowl that's made the decision to not play this year. And frankly, the only reason the Red Box Bowl made that decision is because prior to COVID, they were... They knew that they had to find a new venue for their bowl. They weren't going to be playing in the 49ers stadium any longer, so they were looking for a new venue. They had some new contracts that were trying to be put in place. COVID hit, complicated a lot of that already, and I think that they felt like it was probably easier this year to, you know, with some of the decisions California as a whole is making, you know, as it relates to COVID, they felt like it was going to be a better decision for them just to postpone a year and get everything into place for next year.
That makes a lot of sense.
They were in an interesting position, and so that was the best decision for them. But, you know, as far as the other bowls, I don't know of any other bowl considering not playing.
Not that you're in the same boat, and we kind of talked about this earlier, the Nova Home Loans Bowl, that's what it's been for the last few years. Right now it's not.
Well, right. You know, so COVID brings a lot of unexpected situations. And one of them is that, you know, Nova, frankly, is waiting to find out if there is going to be a season. I mean, being a title sponsor of a bowl game is a large investment, and they want to make sure that you know, we're actually going to be playing and everything is put into place before they make a decision on whether or not they're, you know, interested in coming back as the title sponsor. They've been an incredible title sponsor for us from the very beginning, and whether they continue to be a title sponsor, I can assure you they will always be a supporter in some way of the Bowl, just because, you know, they're in the fabric of who we are as an organization. But, you know, as a result, we're open to considering other title sponsors at this point. And if it works out that Nova can come back, that would be great. If not, you know, I'm sure we will have another title sponsor that will pick up the slack and partner with us for a long, long time.
How has it been going with the, you know, I mean, you've had a lot of incredible community support here. I mean, you know, are other people in the same position? Are they waiting to see, you know, what's happening? Or, I mean, how are you guys doing sponsorship-wise otherwise?
Yeah, you know, this community is so amazing and so supportive of what we've been building these past 5 years. So many of our sponsors have said they will be back. They just want to, you know, before they write a check, they just want to make sure that the college season is actually kicking off. So we've had a lot of support. We've pre-sold suites that we don't even know if we can have yet. and so we've got a lot of great support. And so we're you know, obviously there's a lot of companies that have changed course economically this year, and we don't expect to have the type of sponsorship revenue we've had in the past. But we expect quite a few sponsors to come back and help us, you know, make sure that this Bowl kicks off this year in some form or fashion, and that we'll be set up for even better success next year.
Are you guys, I assume, like you're like everybody else, working remotely and kind of doing it that way, just so, you know, precautions?
Yeah, we have been working remotely since March. You know, we meet every day via Zoom, and then, you know, and then follow up with each other sort of at the end of the day on our successes. I think, you know, we'll probably start sometime in the next few weeks meeting in person back at the office. We've got a lot to do between now and December 31st.
Well, it's always good not to see Ollie. You don't have to see Ollie all the time.
Ollie and Eric, you know. I mean, as much time as you can spend away from those guys is probably a good thing for everybody.
Yeah.
We joke. We love those guys.
Of course. No, they're so fun. And we just have such a dynamic group, so enthusiastic about what we do. It's, you know, it's awesome when, and you guys know this because you're living it, when you love your job and love what you're doing for your community, it makes it so easy to go to work every day. And when you have colleagues that feel the same way you do, it's just like, you know, it's fun. It's a fun job every single day.
Kim Adair, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Kim, and good luck with that. You know, I love the event, so it's, you know, all the best. We hope we're there on December 31st.
Yes, we hope so too. And thanks, guys. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Kim. Let's go. Take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized by Forbes as one of Arizona's best credit unions 3 years in a row. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer low rates on loans, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/best. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
I'm Ron Hess from the Window Depot. You know about our great prices and our biggest inventory on windows and doors. Well, now the Window Depot is the place for all your kitchen cabinets. And that's not all. Now you can get granite countertops at the Window Depot. That's right, we now stock a large variety of prefab granite countertops starting at $116 for a 9-foot section. That's less than Formica. So come into the Window Depot today, because now we have granite.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. Look at the tunes we're playing. This world is upside down.
That's Miss Ross for those of you who don't know.
What was that for? That's our first time.
Just because I thought it would be appropriate the way things are going upside today. Down. Everything is upside down.
Yeah. Well, next week it's going to be Highway to Hell.
I can pull that one up too. Yeah. Hey, I try to fit a theme here, you know. But
yeah, I was wondering.
I love it. It's you know, it's all good.
Yes, it is. The situation is baseball, basketball's done, NBA's done very, very well.
Well, the bubbles are working.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately, you know, you're not going to be able to put the college football teams in a bubble. So that's
right.
That's the truth of it. And it's been said a million times, you know, we're going to be relying on a bunch of 18 to 20 year olds to just do the right thing. I mean, there's only so much you can do. For instance, I read the U of A held a press conference today talking about, you know, what they're doing for, students coming in and stuff like that. And President Robbins said that every person that's coming to campus is going to have to be tested before they get a dorm.
Really?
And they have to have a negative result before moving in. And he's telling people, go get tested before you even get here.
Sure.
Because we're going to test you. And if you test positive, you're not going to your dorm.
Well, let me say this. Who's paying for these tests? If they're coming here to be
tested. Well, the U of A is paying for it. They're testing on campus.
My point would be, please do it somewhere else before you came here. It's going to cost us money.
They're going to test you anyways. Yeah. But he's just saying, you know, if you think there's a chance you might have it, maybe go get tested so that you can do something about it before you get here. Because if you get here...
A pretest.
Right. If you get here and you've got it, you're not moving into a dorm. In fact, we're going to isolate you somewhere. So they're saying, go take care of it now. Get tested now so that if you have had it or do have it, mm-hmm. you can do everything you need to do before you get here, so that when you get tested here, you don't have it, and you can move on to campus.
I'm a little bit confused because I know a couple people who have been tested; they got the results right away, mm-hmm. which makes no sense, given that people say it takes at least a few days.
There's a couple of different tests. Is what it is. There's several types of tests.
You're nodding your head, Tom.
Yeah, there's rapid tests that come back right away, and then there's some that have to be sent to a lab. And what they're trying to do now is get hundreds of thousands more of the rapid tests out because there's a backlog at private labs that's in some cases 2 weeks or more.
See, so
right.
There you go.
But the testing that they're going to do on campus, they're going to know that day.
They're
going to know within a few hours. Mm-hmm. And if you've got it, you're not getting on campus. It's that simple.
So the reason, and the cost. I'm saying the cost. I don't know what it costs, but there's another expense that the UA, at the end of the day, shouldn't afford, but they're going to have to.
There's a lot of money going into all of this. Yeah. But again, in the end, it's to get school going.
No question.
Get students, you know, on camp as, you know, some on campus, whatever. But, you know, just to get, you know, let's get back to getting kids in school.
Everybody's student activities fee goes up by like $300,000.
Right. No, you know, I didn't know anything about, what do you call that? That leap year of education, what do you call it? That the president's daughter took. You save a year. You don't go to school. A gap year, yes. You would know. Your kids are recent. So I never heard of it until recently.
It's a thing.
Wouldn't you do that now?
I think you might consider that, but I don't know. You know, maybe you would. But
typically,
you know,
in a gap year, though, kids travel or they work or they do something like that.
There's nowhere to go.
No, you don't have that chance.
There's nowhere to go. The reason they do it is to take a year off to kind of gather themselves, and they'll travel or they'll just
find a job or something.
Yeah, go do some work, go do an internship, any one of a number of things like that. I mean, they're done for a purpose.
But you know what I'm saying? This is crazy. I don't know if this is college life. Well, we talked about this.
Again, everybody's just got to understand it's just not going to be what it's, you know, what it's supposed to be, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. But again, it's, look, these are the times that we're in. Let's just deal with them and figure it out and see where it gets us. You know, I personally think that Arizona has a better than 0.1% chance of winning the league. I don't think it's 1 point anything or anything like that. But
what's the quote? You're saying we have a chance?
Exactly. So you're saying we have a chance, right? So I don't know. I still think there's going to be some football. I know your thing is we're going to get started and probably not going to finish. But
right.
I do believe that. I just got to think that they're not doing it just for the money.
Okay, so let me ask you, and I don't want you to wear your optimist hat. You wear that a lot, and I wear the other one. Okay, no, strip yourself of all that.
Okay.
Get loose. You really think that this is going to happen? I'm asking you as a realist.
I do. I believe the football season will start.
Okay. And I do too.
All right.
And I do too.
And I believe that there are going to be some situations. You know, games are going to get postponed or canceled or whatever.
Because we know it's going to get. COVID's going
to
be there.
Right. But if they can keep that to a minimum. And they're able to reschedule the games. And even if, you know, they're even saying, look, even if we just get 7 or 8 games in,
that's good enough. Yeah, I agree.
So I think there's going to be quite a bit of that. I think Arizona's going to play 10 games? I think there's about a 50-50 shot of Arizona playing 10 games.
Okay, and that's where my boy brings in his wah-wah.
Yeah, well, so here's a question for you guys. Let's say that the Power Five say, look, If we try to push through in the fall, with the exception of the SEC, which will probably play anyway, but let's say the other four say this isn't going to happen in the fall, would you rather them play in the spring? I know it's not a great idea. Or would you rather them say, we'll just go back at it next year? And will they consider that?
My whole thing is, it's no guarantee in the spring.
Right. I think if they have to kill it for the fall, they just kill it.
For the whole year?
Yeah. Just kill it. Let's come back. Let everybody keep their eligibility. Mm-hmm. And if they want to still go to the NFL or do whatever they want to do, they make that call. I think if you can't play in the fall, like the Olympic sports is, you know, what the Pac-12 calls them. If they want to move those to the spring, fine. But I believe if you can't play football in the fall, just because it's the one that is really the danger of it.
Yeah, right.
The uncertainty of it. I don't think that even going in the spring does much for you.
Let me ask this. Okay, so football doesn't get played. What's to prevent the volleyball team or some of the other teams? Why not? They could still play.
That's what I'm saying. I think they could still play.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so not I was thinking
I'm thinking
else.
I'm thinking if you know, try to play the other sports, you're not bringing any money in anyways.
Right, right.
You know, minimize the cost, all of that stuff. Unless, of course, if the kids don't want to play, if they say, you know what, if you're going to kill football, kill it all.
Right.
Then kill it all.
Well, the one thing that we saw yesterday, which I thought, and I think you agree with me, was that loan, that they're able to survive on that loan, which is huge.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal, and it gives you
peace of mind.
You know, I mean, again, with all the money angle of all of this, one of the reasons is that they're trying to save jobs. They're trying to save, mm-hmm. Let the students, you know, be in school,
Sure.
You're trying to preserve all of that. If you can preserve that with a massive loan like that you think you mm-hmm. can handle, mm-hmm. of course, I mean, you don't, and not everybody can just borrow money and be okay with it. I mean, they're going to have to pay it back at some point. But if you think you can manage that, then why run the risk of having the season?
Yeah, no
question. Why make the fans spend their money on a product that is not what it's supposed to be?
Sure.
Just go ahead and cancel the darn season and let's do everything we can to get it back next year.
Yeah. Tom, did you?
Well, and I just was looking at the loan thing here. I mean, the estimate is over the 2022 to 2024, they estimate they can almost make up missing this year with the revenue from those seasons and kind of help the loan payback. So,
right.
You know, what is that damage to football? Maybe not as much, but is that going to help the other sports survive too?
That's what it does. It helps, and it helps athletic departments, you know, save jobs, and mm-hmm. you know, these people get to keep working and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think the loan thing is a bigger deal than maybe we're thinking it is.
No, because you and I think it's a big deal.
I think it's a huge deal. I just don't feel like there's been a lot of discussion about
in terms
of what it could mean, that maybe they'll be more inclined to kind of, you know, back off of what they're trying to do. The optics of forcing this thing into the spring are bad.
And you could get it. They don't say it. The people we've talked to, they don't say it, but you know that they don't want to.
They don't want to do that.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that for a lot of reasons.
Sure.
So if you have a way to kind of keep, it's not the status quo, but, you know, keep your athletic department together mm-hmm. and not go into the toilet because you've got this loan program or resources to be able to do this, then use those resources.
Yeah, sure. And you're going to pay it back in time and all that stuff. You're fine. But the thing is, for me, is okay, we come to January and we're in the same situation as we are.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Exactly. you know, if you have to cancel, then focus on the winter sports. Focus on getting basketball on the court.
Right, because that's going to be another issue.
Right, and then get the spring sports going so that we just take the pressure off.
Right,
is
right.
what I think it would do.
So let's say this. Well, this is another thing. Can we talk in specific about football right now? But basketball, the men's basketball, the women's basketball team, all the promise, and now some of the other sports, they can't live in a bubble, but they could be bubble-like, maybe.
Well, because you have fewer athletes
exactly.
on a team.
That's why
you have fewer staff members.
That's why I say that.
When you don't have 85 guys smashing faces.
Sure. No, exactly.
You know, five or six times a week, you're going to be able to control it a little more.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that gives everyone hope, I think.
Right.
If it's possible.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Plus, it also depends on states right now. Last I heard, California said no athletic competitions until at least September 5th. I don't know if that's been extended, but it'll be state by state, too, as to even where you can play.
No, that's where it is right now. For instance, if Pac-12 was able to start practices today, they can't start practicing in California.
Mm-hmm.
USC and UCLA cannot start practice yet. They're not cleared by the LA restrictions to even start practicing.
So this is a dumb question, but I'm going to get it from you guys anyway. So do you believe in the competitive advantage? That's good. You're taking some time to think about it.
Yeah, well, if they say you can start August 17 and everybody can start August 17, then what? There is no competitive
advantage. Well, no, but LA won't be able to. You're talking about LA starting late?
Well, you're hoping that they can by that time.
Yeah.
They haven't said that they can't. They just said they can't right now.
Yeah.
I think that any time a program has a head start on preparation, yes, it's an advantage. And I think you would have to start all the programs at the same time if you want to claim equal footing. It's that simple to me.
I think you, what you say is correct. I don't know I think that's true though. That if you're good, if the top team is better than the 10th place team, and he starts late.
But you know, if you started practice, you know, Oklahoma has started practice, okay,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're supposedly going to have a game here at the end of August, and then they're not going to play again until the end of September. I'm not sure how much of a competitive advantage that is. You know, what are those guys going to feel like, you know, 10 weeks down the road?
Yeah.
They've been practicing 2 months longer than everybody else.
Right. No, I get it.
Well, they're going to be ready to chew the bark off trees by the time they get around to playing another game. So athletes want to play games.
Exactly.
They don't want to practice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, let's take a quick break because we have to here on 10:30 The Voice.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in Southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez talking a lot of football. Let's get something from Jay real quick on the Arizona Bowl.
Just something that I completely forgot to ask Kim about this because, you know, this coming year, you know, the Arizona Bowl has its first year of its partnership with the MAC, with the Mid-American Conference. And today, the MAC presidents were supposed to meet and make a decision on their fall season, football and whatnot, and they delayed the meeting. So everybody's going, ooh, you know, are they trying to decide if they're even going to have a college football season? So, but they're supposed to meet on Saturday. So I guess we'll hear, you know, if the MAC is going to play football on Saturday. Nobody, there's nothing coming out of that says it's good or bad. It's just that there was supposed to be a decision today and there was no decision. It's been delayed until Saturday. So who knows what's going on there. But I presume if the MAC is not going to play football, that the Arizona Bowl would go find another partner. And here's another question about that. So you had to have, you know, if you're in a 12-game season, you had to go 6-6 to get to a bowl game. And, you know, a lot of these teams were playing gimme games, you know, Portland States and whatever counted toward those 6-6. So now that you're all playing, you know, 10 conference games, there's going to be a lot fewer games with 500 records. What's going to be the standard to get into a bowl game?
Right, right.
We haven't heard anything about that.
Could be losing teams get into some bowl games.
Because, for instance, you know, in my count for Arizona, when I had Arizona going 6-6,
right,
I had them winning their 3 non-conference games. So that was a 3-6 conference mm-hmm, record. Mm-hmm. But they were still going to qualify for a bowl if they won their 3 non-conference games. Well, if they go 3-6 or 4-6, let's say on the better side, 4-6 in a 10-game conference season, is that going to be good enough to get a bowl game or not? You know, how many teams are going to be 500 when you're playing 10 conference games?
This is another issue because you know this. Bowl games bowl officials want teams that travel well.
Right.
Attendance and stuff like that. So now, how are you going to know who's going to travel when there's no attendance?
Well, that's another thing. Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's a good thing for a lot of teams that don't travel well, because now they'll just take your team no matter what.
Worry about the travel.
You know, because this time, you know, this bowl season is going to be about the TV money. So, you know, I actually think that opens the door for a team that might have gotten set aside to be able to get into a bowl game over a team that maybe isn't as good but travels well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of things, a lot of hoops to jump through.
You know, I wish we had, you know, we'll have to get back with Kim on that. And, I haven't seen anything about that. So I don't know that maybe even the question's been answered. Who qualifies for a bowl game under the current schedule structure?
Yeah, no, it's a lot of craziness going on.
Because what I'm hoping is if Arizona goes 3-7, I still hope they go to a bowl game.
The team that has 1% chance or less than 1% chance. What kind of optimism do you drink when you show up?
You know,
to
I sit at my desk all day and there's just stuff bouncing off my, you know, bouncing off the walls all day long.
Wow.
Know? You know, I don't hit the booze until I go home for dinner and I have a beer.
I just had a conversation with Rivera.
Or something like
that. I make
that.
People drink, but you co-host.
No, you know, I'm not a day drinker. I'm not a day drinker.
Yeah, you're after seasons.
Okay, unless I'm down in Rocky Point or something like that, then I'm an all day drinker. But that's a whole different deal.
Right,
we'll get into that sometime.
Okay. We had something to talk about, and I kind of just texted somebody to see if we can come on. The situation at South Point. The kids having some pretty good news for Tucsonans.
Right, because I mentioned at the top of the show that there had been a Max Preps, which is, for those of you who don't know what Max Preps is, it's sort of a national website that tracks stats and schedules and for all the high schools all over the country. And it's something that, you know, I as a coach, I'd put our team stats in and people could go see and all that stuff. Well, they had reported that a high school out of Utah had Trayson Bourget, is that how you pronounce
Bourget,
his name?
Yes, sir.
The quarterback at Sal Point on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
So Javier Morales, our good friend, who's always Johnny on the spot on high school sports, already has a story out. He called Bourget's dad, and Bourget's dad said, no, he's staying.
I just texted his dad. I wanted him to come on the show and give us a quick call.
Yeah, and
maybe we have some time.
So he apparently is staying. Part of the reason is that high school athletes can only transfer twice a year. I mean, twice in a career. He's already transferred once from Miranda to Sal Point. So if he wanted to go play for a year in Utah and come back to Sal Point, he wasn't going to be able to do that.
Right.
So that he's just going to go ahead and stay. So that's the word. So, you know, it's you know, as you said, Steve, you know, off the air, that it's amazing that, you know, in our time, we were chasing the 18-year-old who was, you know, being recruited to go to the U of A. Now we're chasing the high school junior as to whether he's going to stay in high school.
Yeah, well,
it's crazy.
Let's go there because we haven't had a discussion with this because we did this back in the day 30 years ago. I really feel uncomfortable that we do stories on eight-year-olds, 10-year-olds. Eighth graders. To me, it's just kind of squirrely. I don't know what the word is, but
dirty.
Yeah. and even universities are chasing the freshmen, or at least they were.
It's a little creepy. It's creepy. You feel like you're stalking these kids,
yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's kind of nuts, but you just don't know what you know, but it's just all a part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all a part of it. When you're trying to find out, you know, where these high school freshmen are getting offered to go to Kentucky, you know, stuff like that.
Right. We got a call. Is this Aaron? Thanks for calling in.
Hello, Aaron.
Hang on, guys.
Oh, good. Oh,
okay. Here we go.
Aaron, are you there?
This is actually Toby Bourget.
Oh, great, it's Toby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. Thanks for texting real quick, Toby. We're just talking about your son. What went into the decision to stay and just your thoughts on maybe possibly going and then coming back?
Well, I tell you what it comes down to is, obviously there's a lot of variables when you make a decision like that. So, but the transfer thing that's being put out there, that's really not the biggest thing for Trayson's decision. I mean, the biggest thing was being able to play in front of his family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, when he thought about not being able to play in front of his little brothers, that was a big, big deal to him.
Oh, that warms my heart. That's great. That's great to hear.
You know what? That's real. That's great. He's a tough kid, so he probably doesn't want people to know that I'm telling you guys that. But that is. He looked at his mom and I last week, and we said, well, what if we could make that happen? And we were able to make a full family move, would that be something that you would want to consider? And he said, that's the only way that I will consider it.
Yeah.
So some other things have transpired. And, you know, as far as just, so it just came down to it. And he's coming. He's going to stay home. And we're going to all pray together that there's football in Southern Arizona and in Arizona. And, you know, we know the guy's got a plan. That's why we're all still here, and that's what we're going to go with.
Do you think other families or other players might even think about doing what you were thinking about doing?
You know, see, I really, I can't get into what other people think and do, and I just know that we looked at some options that were a reality for our family in particular. I know that it's not for everybody. I know people, you know, and people, everybody's got their own thoughts. And, you know, football for my kids, the kid that's three that have come through school and are going through school right now, I've got six kids. So, you know, football was an option for them to get a higher education. And, you know, the more options you have, the nicer it is, right? If you're able to, to have a Stanford on the board and a Notre Dame and a Texas, well, that's nice to be able to choose what institution you want to get that education at. And that's all this was about. You know, it was expanding. Obviously, all the Wildcat fans know that he absolutely loves Arizona. He loves Arizona. And Notre Dame and Texas and Florida and all these other schools are great. But at the end of the day, he's super, super excited to have an opportunity to play at the University of Arizona. If at the end of the day, that's where he chooses to stay and play, then so be it. But I'd like him to be able to explore as many options as possible. And that's all this was about. You know, it was nothing more than that. I mean, you guys know that his journey has been a little bit sideways because he played behind Trenton his freshman year. So he didn't get on the field but one game. And then his sophomore year, he played five games. And, you know, he averaged about seven throws a game. And you're not going to be a real prolific quarterback at any level if you throw about seven times a game, right? So,
yeah. Well, Toby, we really appreciate you calling in at the last minute.
We do. And, look, if he wants to be Wildcat, I'm all for that. Okay, just so you know. And I do. You know, and I love the fact that, you know, it was about his family and his brothers, and he wants to play. I just love that. I mean, that is so cool. So I wish him all the best.
Welcome home.
We wish him all the best on that. So thank you for calling.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
Right,
you
too.
What you do.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That was good. That was a good call.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, and again, it's cool to hear that there's still some of that out there, you know, and it's not all about where am I going to get the best scholarship. That he's like, no, I want my little brother to see me play.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love the kid already. And I don't even know him. So there you go.
And he could be an Arizona Wildcat.
And then if he's a Wildcat, I'm going to love him even more.
Right. So there's that optimist. Optimist Jay Gonzalez. I'm going to say co-host and optimist Jay Gonzalez.
So that's cool. That's cool. And, you know, and again, six kids. Wow. You know, you just don't hear about that a lot anymore. I mean, there were six kids in my family, but we're, you know, we're, you know, we're, uh, dinosaurs as far as that goes. You know, nobody does that anymore. But right, good, right. Good for them. Good for the family. Good for them. Good for him to you know, to stick around. And good, you know, good for South Point.
Well, it was a good call. Good show today. We had Kim Adair.
It was fun. You know, I'm all, you know, hope for the best for the Arizona Bowl. I get to work the game every year, so I really hope they have it. It's a lot
cool
of fun.
Gifts. And they have cool gifts.
They have cool gifts. We got
big pack.
Yeah, you know, and stuff. So it's always been great. So it's always a great event. It's a lot of fun. So I hope we have an Arizona Bowl.
We might have to even get Ollie on the show just to give him some grief.
That'd be scary.
Yeah, I know. Hey, thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jay.
All right. See you guys tomorrow.